بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Still discussing ayah number 31, we come to the last portion of the ayah. Just to recap very quickly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded the believing woman to lower the gaze and look after the chastity. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made one exception, and that exception was that they should not expose the beauty. Besides that beauty which exposes on its own, especially when a woman is engaged in some form of work. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also commanded her that she should use her sheet, her khimar, her orni or her scarf, and that scarf should cover the head, and it should come frontwards covering the bosom of the woman, and that obviously will also include the ears and the neck, etc. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the second exclusion, the second exception, and that is that there is no hijab between her and her husband and the other mahrams that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the ayah. Continuing with these exceptions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O ma malakat aymanuhunna, and also there is no hijab between her and those female slaves that she owns. According to most of the commentators, that even if a woman in the time of slavery had owned a male slave, then there is still hijab between her and that male slave. There is no hijab between her and the female slave. أَوِتَّابِعِينَ غَيْرِ أُولِي الْإِرْبَةِ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about those men that attend the woman or the household, but such men who do not have an interest, do not have an interest in so far as, or do not have an inclination in so far as women are concerned. Some of the Sahaba, like Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, had interpreted this ayah like sometimes a person has as an attendant, someone that is mentally challenged, retarded, someone that is insane, and those type of people that do not have an inclination towards woman, then that woman can come in front of him without a hijab. And again, without a hijab would mean that her face is uncovered, but obviously she will still abide by the law of the satr, where her body is completely covered insofar as her salat is concerned. That is how she will cover her body. Here one very important aspect is this, that there is some deficiency in our households, that whether that person is of Indian origin, from the Asian subcontinent, or whether that person is from Africa, or whether that person be from any other part of the world, the law of hijab will still apply if it is a male. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the next exclusion, أَوِالطِّفْلِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يَظْهَرُوا عَلَىٰ عَوْرَاتِ النِّسَاءِ, or that child who does not understand the matters of chastity of woman. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to that child that is so young, so small, that does not understand intimacy between male and female. In other words, these matters have not come forth in the mind of the child. However, in this era, I think this also, children are well aware of these matters. But be that as it may, if it is a child that is small, far from attaining the age of puberty, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made that the exclusion. وَلَا يَضْرِبْنَ بِأَرْجُلِهِنَّ لِيُعْلَمَ مَا يُخْفِينَ مِنْ زِينَتِهِنَّ. In certain narrations it has come that in Makkah Mukarramah and amongst the Arabs especially, women used to wear the anklets, that jewelry that is worn around the ankles and other jewelry, and then they will walk around the town, and these jewelry used to make a noise. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited and stopped that. That a woman is not allowed to stamp her feet in such a manner that that jewelry or adornment which she is wearing, people become aware of it. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has emphasized this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this a condition of the hijab of a woman. So hence, a woman cannot on her jewelry put such things that will jingle, such things that will make sounds, that will elude any person, and hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited that also. Thereafter, concluding the ayah, Allah says, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا, All of you make tawbah, ayyuhal mu'minun, O believers. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at concluding this ayah, has commanded that all believers make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawbah for what? Generally, man has committed sin, man breaks the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and tawbah is supposed to be a continuous practice, like we find in the hadith of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself says that I make tawbah and istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 70 times a day, and in one narration, 100 times a day. So that had been the continuous practice of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some have said more specific to this ayah that there are times when there's laxity, there is time when we put down our guard and we lift our gaze. There are times when we break the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala insofar as the matters of hijab is concerned, insofar as our gazes are concerned. So we need to continuously make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a very important aspect is this, that if we do things in error and we seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we are sincere, Allah will forgive us. But by and large, we break the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then we say it cannot be helped. This is natural and normal in life. This is the norm and practice of people, etc. And this is the crossroads that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. One of the reasons that you will make tawbah so that you will become successful spiritually insofar as this world is concerned, and in the everlasting akhirat, there will be the everlasting success. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.